Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm, so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn, and your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep, and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this republic.
America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that lap of luxury, on we the people's bill. Don't have a clue how.
the tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It doesn't seem our constitution, why we still got guys with guns in our hands. Calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution. Why we still got the guns in our hands? Why we still got the guns? Still got the guns in our hands.
Good morning and welcome to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Today is July 25th, 2012, here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. Go to freedomizerradio.com, scroll down about halfway down the page, and you will see a chat room. In that chat room will be a discussion. You can join it. There is oftentimes links from the chat room to the hosts and from the hosts to the chat room. And oftentimes the discussion in the chat room covers topics that aren't even addressed in the radio show in their own unique chat room format. Also, at freedomizerradio.com, you will find a link to listen to the broadcast live, whatever broadcast is up streaming on the network on Freedomizer Radio. Go there, click the little play button, and you will hear it. You will also find select archives to listen to on the Freedomizer Radio, from the Freedomizer Radio Network, www.freedomizerradio.com. We have been covering over the past week here this story about these tandem shootings that took place over the same weekend. One of them where both of them, the perpetrators, were wearing bulletproof vests, had vastly outgunned their victims, had vastly superior firepower, and in both of them, there seems to be no reason for the death. In the movie theater killing, they still haven't, as far as I have seen, had this subject give his rationale for why he did what he did. And also, there has been no rationale given to the public for the incident in Anaheim near Knott's Berry Park, Knott's Berry Farm, just a couple blocks away, where a man was shot in the head running down the sidewalk. So egregious was this killing that local residents, who many of whom must have seen this killing, angrily surrounded the investigators, and so the official story goes. They were then met with shotguns, with beanbags instead of BBs, buckshot. Dogs were released on crowds of people, including right on top of a woman with a young infant, who she rescued, young enough to be in one of those baby slings. And there was a man in the crowd who basically offered the dog his arm instead of the baby. And he was attacked for a while until he was able to get to safety. Officers by then pulling the dog off of the crowd that had been concerned about an injustice in their community. Well, yesterday into this morning, there was a continuation of this saga in Orange County. Here's from the Orange County Register. Dateline Anaheim. Police battled, quote, pockets of unrest in downtown Anaheim late Tuesday night, hours after a large crowd attempting to get inside City Hall broke into violent protest. About 20 minutes before Tuesday's 5 p.m. City Council meeting, a 200-strong crowd tried to get inside the packed City Hall. They were rebuffed by police officers who cited fire standards and would not let anyone else into the crowded council chambers, where the council held its regular meeting and talked about what the crowd was upset about. And here the article says two police shootings over the weekend, although I think the concern comes over just one police shooting. a half dozen officers blocked City Hall's entrance while the crowd gathered around and hurled obscenities. As the crowd pressed closer, officers with helmets and batons came out the front door and pushed the protesters back, angering them. After several minutes, some protesters called for everyone to hit the street. So here, no violence by the crowd, violence by the officers. The crowd decides to assemble in the street nonviolently. For the next 5 hours plus, the tug of war between protesters and police persisted, the article continues. The crowd marched along Anaheim Boulevard to Lincoln Avenue, going into the street and blocking traffic. Some pounded traffic signs and pulled trash cans into the street, while others pulled back the cans. One man with a bullhorn shouted how the protest was to be peaceful. A boy spray-painted a utility box. Some protesters grabbed sand from flower beds and a traffic cone and threw them at officers. Anaheim police were assisted by officers from Garden Grove, Tustin, Brea, Fullerton, and other agencies. About 7:40, police lined across Broadway and in front of City Hall in riot gear. The crowd, now 500 strong and peaceful, stood about. Women with strollers came out to take a look. A church handed out flyers. Jesus loves you. Come to our church. At 8 p.m., police from a helicopter's speaker told the crowd to leave the Broadway Anaheim Boulevard or face arrest. Few, if any, budged. No word yet if they use the same language as they did in Tiananmen Square when they ordered that crowd of peaceful people assembled for a redress of grievances with their own government, or if they used multiple languages, or just English, telling the crowd to disperse from a loudspeaker system over a helicopter. Authorities announced, the article continues, a dispersal order at Anaheim and Broadway shortly before 9 p.m., then released pepper balls at the feet of the protesters, that means they gassed them, prompting the crowd to move rapidly away at the feet, officially, of the protesters. I don't know how they are released. Some regrouped nearby while others scattered throughout downtown. Police took at least five people into custody, one for resisting arrest, said Sergeant Bob Dunn. A fight between demonstrators left one person, quote, significantly injured, but the victim is expected to survive. Rocks were thrown at police throughout the protests. Officers deployed beanbags and pepper balls. Numerous trash bin fires in nearby neighborhoods were reported throughout the weekend. The crowd also broke windows to some, including a Starbucks. Earlier in the evening, four or five men were filling one-gallon glass bottles with gasoline and placing rags in them at an Arco station at Anaheim and Broadway, said John Duncan, a legal representative for the business. So I guess John Dutton is a legal representative for the business. Police were called and directed employees to shut down the pumps. While the number of protesters decreased throughout the night, police said those who remained were, quote, intent on causing trouble, quote, close quote. So the guy from the church handing out the flyers, the women with their strollers, who were in such danger from the crowd, they stayed indoors. That's the crowd that, what do they say here? Intent on causing trouble. They seem to be destructive, Dunn said. Police expected to remain on alert throughout the night. By 10:30 p.m., the large groups had dispersed, but there were more than 100 scattered protesters causing, quote, pockets of unrest in the downtown area, Dunn said. We hope to restore order by the morning, Dunn said. Tim Poole, an independent journalist who goes by Timcast on Ustream and Twitter, did a live webcast from the Anaheim protests. On his webcast, at least six fires could be seen within about 45 minutes. The fires were in a trash bin on the side of roads and alleys and inside a garbage can, which melted. On the side of roads and alleys and inside a garbage can, fires. He also witnessed a woman being struck in the leg. Poole stayed because police lines for most of the night stayed behind. Poole stayed behind police lines for most of the night, but when he veered out, he was fired upon with pepper balls and impact rounds, despite showing a press pass, he said. As of 10:35 p.m., he was unable to get back to the action. Earlier in the day, the Anaheim Police Association said the Anaheim officer who fired a fatal shot at an unarmed man this weekend, saw some kind of object in the man's waistband and feared it was a weapon. The association's account and a $50 million lawsuit filed by the man's mother offered new details about the shooting that killed 25-year-old Manuel Angel Diaz. An attorney for Diaz's mother said he was shot in the back, then fell to his knees and was shot again in the head. Police have described Diaz as a known gang member and a known gang member, and said he fled on foot down a residential alleyway when officers approached him Saturday afternoon. They have declined to speak in any more detail about what led to the shooting. Kind of closed-lipped on that part. All kinds of details about how the crowd peaceably assembled to look into the matter, quote, seem to be destructive, Officer Dunn, or are by peaceably assembling with their baby strollers and their flyers intent on causing trouble. The article continues, the next day, an Anaheim gang officer shot and killed another man, Joel Matthew Acevedo, in an unrelated incident, 21. Police also described Acevedo as a known gang member and said he opened fire on officers during a foot chase. Although current reports are that the man was unarmed. The back-to-back shootings have sparked several demonstrations. The community is scared and angry, said Joanne Souza, who helped organize Tuesday's protest. We don't want violence. We just want those people in City Hall to know things need to change. Diaz was talking with friends when police confronted them. According to an attorney representing Diaz's mother in her lawsuit against the city, all three ran, and two officers chased Diaz's attorney, Dana Douglas said in a statement. One of the officers had recognized Diaz as a known gang member and saw him holding a, quote, concealed object in his waistband with both hands, according to the police association. He ignored the orders to stop running, then pulled the object from his waistband and turned toward the officers, the association said. None of the other witnesses. Good job reporting here, OC Register. Where's the independent witnesses that are reporting the exact opposite of this? The association's explanation continues that, quote, feeling that Diaz was drawing a weapon. The officer opened fire on Diaz to stop the felt perceived threat. The association said that in a statement. Anaheim police said after the shooting that Diaz was not armed. Yet he drew a weapon and opened fire on police. The police association has declined to say what, if anything, the object that the officer reported seeing was. I hope the department which investigates such shootings is a little more on the ball than the one that Metro has, investigating similar shootings where people have been known to have had objects planted on crime scenes. There was there were two shootings in Anaheim. Both of them very questionable. The responsible parties are not explaining why they did it. Similarly, in Aurora, there were multiple shootings, and the responsible party and parties are not saying why this occurred. The party responsible for the shootings in Colorado was rather odd in his behavior. Odd even for the psychopaths that engage in these type of random mass shootings. Went in SWAT team-like Kevlar clothing, fired a shotgun till it ran empty at a crowd of movie patrons, after apparently getting a phone call or a signal or assistance in the building and getting all that gear on, which he didn't know how to use, then opens fire with an AR-15 with a 100-round drum, somehow in there changes magazines, because the magazine in the weapon has, in the weapon as photographed outside the theater, has a 30-round magazine in it, 20 or 30-round magazine in it, not a 100-round drum magazine. He then runs out of, they say, that jammed. No word on what the malfunction or jam was. It's likely it was a malfunction and not a jam, but they haven't released any information on that. Runs out of ammo, or that weapon is jammed, switches then to his pistol, runs the Glock 40 caliber weapon out of ammo, which holds another 20 or so rounds of 40 caliber pistol ammo, and then walks peaceably as if turned off by his handler, walks peaceably out the door where he's apprehended without incident and without much detail by the Aurora County or Aurora, Colorado Police Department. Then he becomes, then he informs those officers immediately that he has these booby traps in his apartment with wired explosives. Then, once that officer safety issue is taken care of, he becomes uncooperative again. So that today the news, they're putting it in Britain, of course. Dark Knight, this is on the dailymail.uk. Dark Knight gunman forced to wear a face guard in prison after spitting at officers. The man accused of gunning down cinema goers at a midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises in Colorado has been spitting so much at officers while he is held in police custody, they have been forced to put a face guard on him. After James Holmes was arrested in the movie theater's parking lot, he sat wide-eyed and twitching and refused to cooperate with investigators, sources revealed. It also emerged that when authorities placed evidence bags over the 24-year-old's hands to preserve gunshot residue, he began playing with them as if they were two puppets, the sources told Call 7. He is being held in isolation at the Arapahoe County Jail, but the continual spitting has forced authorities to cover his face while he is being moved. It is just the latest example of Holmes' bizarre behavior and comes as his mother revealed she feared he had been disturbed for years and was concerned about his social isolation. Arlene Holmes, who lives in San Diego, California, and was only made aware of the shootings when a reporter called her for a comment, is said to have urged her son to seek counseling. The claim in the Washington Post about Mrs. Holmes, a nurse, is the first sign that she could have averted the massacre and raises grave questions over what else she knew. This says the Daily Mail out of the UK. When she was called about the shootings on Friday, she told an ABC reporter, "You have the right person," in an apparent indication that her son was the likely gunman. But on Monday, her lawyer spoke out to claim Mrs. Holmes' statement had been mischaracterized, and she had in fact been confirming that she was the right person. And they show pictures of Holmes sitting there in a trance-like daze, fighting to stay awake. But jail workers said he was not on any medication. According to reports, the article continues, the neuroscience graduate was adopted, and Mrs. Holmes, 58, and her husband, Robert, 61, a software developer, raised him as one of their own. The reports came just one day after Holmes' startling first appearance in court on Monday, where he rolled his eyes, stared directly ahead, and swayed from side to side. He also displayed a disheveled mop of orange hair, apparently fading from the red he had dyed it, in an attempt to resemble Batman's arch-nemesis, the Joker. He stayed silent throughout the appearance at Arapahoe County Court, and at times appeared as if he was under heavy medication, says the Daily Mail. But a jail employee has claimed that the 12-minute catatonic appearance was an act, not the result of any drugs. "We don't just hand out meds," the Arapahoe County Detention Center worker told the New York Daily News. "It just doesn't work like that. If he was acting sleepy, he was faking it." They show here in this article a picture of a young lady with an assemblage on her leg that I'm quite familiar with. She's got the pins down into her bones, holding together her leg in a straight position, screwed down over about 8 inches above her kneecap, and then again also about 8 inches below her kneecap, holding her leg straight. The possible apparent gunshot wound in that knee. And from this, it appears there will be one or more surgeries to try to repair that area on the young woman there, shot by this psychopath. Who has all the markings of a mind control subject. We'll have to see as details come out, but right now, initial indications point towards this guy who had no idea how to use the weaponry he had. Or it seems had no idea how to prepare his apartment with multiple explosives. Or a source of income somehow gathers all this material. Still no word yet whether the name Alex Heidel was used to order them through the mail. That's a popular one the FBI likes to use. The article continues. The source added, I think it's the jail source, I heard he's not cooperating. He's trying to act crazy. I know the people here believe it's an act, but only he knows for sure. Dr. Joe Neff, a criminologist from the University of Virginia, told Mail Online that Holmes' appearance was consistent with someone who was suffering from a mental illness, such as schizophrenia. She said this would also explain why he dropped out of his PhD so abruptly. We know that certain types of psychoses tend to have an onset in the early 20s. If that's the case, he may be in the midst of coping with that. He may not know what's going on, she said. Alternatively, she said the conditions of his jailing, especially for someone who has never been in trouble with the law, may have brought on an episode. Sometimes that can be an experience in and of itself, Dr. Neff said. So his appearance is not very surprising to her. Jailers at the facility agreed Holmes has been acting bizarrely ever since arriving and thinks, quote, thinks he's acting in a movie, they told the New York Daily News. He was spitting at the door and spitting at the guards, a released inmate said outside the jail. He's spitting at everything. Dude was acting crazy. And Daily Mail continues here, mental illness is something the suspected gunman would be educated in after completing a neuroscience degree before dropping out of his PhD program last month. Holmes was previously awarded a $26,000 federal grant from the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, part of the U.S. Department of Health. The sum covered a stipend and his tuition at the University of Colorado in Denver. Yeah, a small stipend. After his tuition to the University of Colorado, Denver, PhD program, probably a $5,000 or $6,000 stipend for the year. He was one of six neuroscience students at the school to receive the money, according to WNEW News. As well as mental illness, there have been other suggestions and a motive, including reports Holmes had recently split from a girlfriend and the fact he had been struggling in school before dropping out. Whatever the cause, families are now reacting to the killings by unleashing lawsuits on the Century 16 Theater where the shooting took place. Holmes' doctors, and Warner Brothers. TMZ reported that Torrance Brown was in the cinema when Holmes shot dead 12 people and wounded another 58. One of his friends, 18-year-old A.J. Boyk, was killed in the massacre, and Brown is now suffering from extreme trauma, according to his attorney, Donald Carpel. His lawsuit, which has not yet been filed, will name the theater for not properly securing the emergency exit and Holmes' doctors for allegedly prescribing medications as defendants. It will also name the studio Warner Brothers, claiming that Dark Knight Rises is too violent. After his brief appearance on Monday, the article continues, Holmes is back in solitary confinement, but the families of the victims said they saw enough. I saw the coward in court today, said Tom Tevis, whose son Alex was among those killed. Alex could have wiped the floor with him without breaking a sweat. Holmes is being held without bond and will hear the formal charges against him next Monday. The county district attorney is considering whether to seek the death penalty. If there's ever a case for it, it would be this one. And, by the way, any handlers he may have had. Legal experts told the Denver Post, the article continues, that Holmes' attorneys are likely to pursue an immediate defense. And there the article ends. Two shootings, same weekend, no explanation for either. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show with yet more opinions so good they ought to be yours.
Man, you hear this bullshit they be talking every day, man. It's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Listen, Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
I pledge no allegiance, nigga. Fuck the president's speeches. I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features. Drowning you in propaganda that they spit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type in your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs and throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars, and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
They say the rebels in Iraq still fight the Saddam, but that's bullshit. I show you why it's totally wrong. Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'd be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the South, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit for looking too wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your moms. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you. Cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never get shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Y'all don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. Never been said, but I set precedence.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, here to begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is still July 25th, 2012. In the news internationally, Iran pledges to deploy warships in the Atlantic here. A report on CNSnews.com. For the second time in less than a year, Iran's top naval commander has said Iranian naval vessels will soon be plying the Atlantic Ocean, having made great strides in recent years in expanding its presence beyond Iranian waters. Rear Admiral Habibullah Syria. His comments came on the same day Iran launched its first domestically built oil tanker. Huh. The war drums beat a little louder on the same day that the domestically built oil tanker makes its first appearance. As if it's really about geopolitical hegemonic control, being able for one entity to shut down the oil spigot out of its puppet states in the Middle East and use that valve to control geopolitics between other large entities that, while they may be large, don't have necessarily the oil resources to tap. Although I think Russia has more natural resources under its soil than America does under its. I would have to believe, given China's vast landmass, they have natural resources enough to maintain the machinery of their state, which is all those pro-government extremists over in China are concerned about. But still, the war drums beat more loudly and faster as Iran launches its first domestically built oil tanker, a 21,000-ton vessel capable of carrying 750,000 barrels of oil, was ordered by Venezuela. And Sayari's remarks raised the possibility that a warship may escort the tanker on its delivery, sailing to Iran's Latin American ally. Iran has also established close ties with Cuba, another potential destination for an Iranian Navy Atlantic voyage. The Navy has carried out successful activities in open seas, and in the near future, we will witness the presence of the Navy in the Atlantic Ocean. Ooh, the presence of the Navy in the ocean, says the Mirror News Agency. The powerful presence of Iranian, they've admitted it, folks, their Navy in the ocean. The powerful presence of Iranian Navy in the high seas has proven the Islamic Republic's might, says the Iranian commander, Sayari. Sayari pointed to the Navy's expanding capabilities over the past decade. Once limited to the Persian Gulf, Iranian warships have been carrying out anti-piracy patrols in the Gulf of Aden, Horn of Africa region, since late 2008. In February of 2011, it sent a frigate and replenishment ship through Egypt's Suez Canal into the Mediterranean Sea, the first such passage since the 1979 revolution. That voyage came shortly after the fall of the Mubarak regime, ushered in the prospect of a thawing of long hostile Iran-Egypt ties. Last February, an Iranian destroyer and Navy supply vessel again traversed the canal, entered the Mediterranean, and docked at the Syrian port of Tartus, rattling Israel. Today, we witness that the Army's naval force is deployed in the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea instead of the Persian Gulf. And God willing, said Sayari, we will go beyond the Mediterranean in future. Last fall, the Navy commander first announced plans to send warships to the Atlantic, saying, like the arrogant powers that are present near our marine borders, we will also have a powerful presence close to the American marine borders. U.S. officials at the time dismissed the comments as bombastic rhetoric. We don't take these statements seriously, given that they do not reflect at all Iran's naval capabilities, said White House Press Secretary Jay Carney. Given the limited size and capability of the Iranian Navy, they would be far better off focusing on the challenges closer to home, including reducing the potential for naval incidents in the Gulf and playing a constructive role in freedom of navigation and maritime issues at home, commented State Department spokesman Victoria Nuland. Listen to that again. Given the limited size and capability of the Iranian Navy, Iran's Navy is small, they would be far better off focusing on the challenges closer to home, implied, rather than bringing their Navy ships closer to American shores. Then including, this is a quote, including reducing the potential for naval incidents in the Gulf and playing a constructive role in freedom of navigation and maritime issues at home, meaning they'd be best to stay off the American coast altogether and rather than engage in the naval actions that others are engaged in their neck of the woods, in other necks of the woods. They should stay at home and only worry about playing in their own harbors instead of turning the tables and using the same tactics being used against them in this international diplomacy of sorts, where the most powerful nations in the world surround this fairly unpowerful nation in the middle of a powder keg of a region, point all of their war machine at it, surround it on both sides with a trumped-up war in Afghanistan based upon a false flag terror attack, a trumped-up war in Iraq based on the same people's lies about weapons of mass destruction that they, in fact, had sold them. The occupation of both countries is almost complete after more than a decade, although still significant insurgents remain upset at the occupation in their homeland. The Navy of the countries responsible for this threatens to shut off your port unless you stop beating your wife. They're holding Iran to these UN resolutions with no actual evidence that they're developing nuclear weapons and then telling Iran to prove they're not when they're assuming they are in the first place. And they're assuming it only publicly because there's also been this kind of quiet war going on where Iranian scientists have been killed in attacks that have all the markings of a Mossad-style attack. Specifically, an Iranian nuclear scientist had his car blow up, they say, by a magnetic bomb. The part they always leave out of the story is that the magnetic bomb was placed on the car by a James Bond-type motorcycle chase, where the motorcycle rider came up and placed the bomb on the car in traffic. And then it detonated after that. Not that he started his car and a bomb had been placed in the garage or something, but that while he was driving, somebody in Iran placed his bomb on his car and had it blow up. Numerous such murders are believed by Iranian officials and the modus operandi and the cui bono of the thing have been carried out by the Mossad. And so all these powerful countries surround you and make demands of you, which you tell them that you're not making nuclear weapons, and they surround you and prepare for an invasion and a war, and they do not rule out the potential of a nuclear first strike. And then if you take any steps to prepare for that seemingly inevitable invasion, that side points out your preparations for war. It's a recipe, it's an American foreign policy destined for disaster. It's an extension of the Bush empirical program. And it could very well trigger World War III. It's a good thing Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa got his Nobel Peace Prize for what they thought he might do, rather than for what, in fact, it is he is doing in the Gulf as World War III mounts, and he maintains blind obedience to the war drums coming out of Israel. Join us here tomorrow on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Abruptly. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Freedomizers. Glad to have you here with us today. This is Cheryl, and I'm hosting this next hour, See the Power in You. And I appreciate you being here. I have a special guest today. And she's been with us before, and if you were listening, maybe was it last Thursday, a couple weeks ago, we had you on.
Yes, last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
This is Judy Lynn Cole, and if you'd like to find out more about her, you can Google her and check her out on Facebook and go check her out on YouTube and find her interviews there. Judy, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, one of the things that you suggested last week that we talk about was how you can use nutrition for empowerment.
Ah, good. Excellent subject.
Okay, by basically increasing the quality of the ingredients that you consume. And by consume, I'm not just talking about what you eat. I'm also talking about what you drink and what you breathe and what you bathe in. Because your body does drink in all of that nutrient, whether it's oral or through the skin.
Now, that's a good point. The skin being our largest organ in our body, it does have that ability to absorb things that we put on it or bathe
right.
in it.
And because of what has occurred over in Japan, we've got some concerns going on about we can't really control what our skin is taking in. But there are things that we can do to make us not be as negatively impacted by radiation as we would be if we weren't taking proactive steps. Being empowered doesn't mean that something is given to you. It means you have to act upon information that you have gained.
That makes perfect sense.
And so what's happening with the radiation is we're getting bombarded with all of these radioisotopes, so radioactive chemicals that are actually coming over in the air. And a lot of people have been complaining, you know, about how the drought has been just terrible. Well, actually, the drought has been a blessing for us and has been a blessing for our soil and our crops and our animals and our trees and our physical bodies. Because the rain actually helps bring down the radiation, whereas if we don't have the rain, it tends to blow across and over us.
Hmm.
So that's an important consideration as far as a perspective on the drought, to not see the drought as being something horrible that's happening to us, but actually as being perhaps a protective measure.
Okay.
You know, of course, we've had rain here in, I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we've had rain here the last several days, and the trees and the plants have all really responded and really appreciate it. But I don't know if anybody's doing any chemical testing to see what is the quality of the water that's coming from the sky. Because
yeah,
that depends on what radioactive plume is blowing over and not. So what can you do? What can an individual do in order to strengthen themselves, to strengthen their livestock, to strengthen their soil? One thing that I highly recommend, it's a product that our company does not stock. Our company's name is Healing Partnerships. We do not stock this product, but it's a product that we periodically do buy. And I recommend this brand because of how they harvest their kelp. I recommend Thorvin, Thorvin kelp, and you can buy this in 50-pound bags, and what you want to do is you want to apply it to your soil. Now, depending on what your soil usage is, whether you're using it just for your lawn as a radioactive protection to get more iodine and natural minerals into the soil, or whether you're using it because you're doing intensive gardening, or whether you're doing it because you have a forest there, or whether it's just your backyard where you grill and your kids play in the sandbox. So you would tell your Thorvin representative when you would call them to place your order, tell them, number one, that Judy Cole of Healing Partnerships recommended their product, and number two, how many pounds do they need to get to apply to their particular size lot or garden plot or their acreage.
Okay, and what does kelp do when applied to the soil?
Well, what it does is kelp is a major source of iodine, and what's coming across is radioactive iodine. if your body is iodine deficient, it's going to grab any kind of iodine it can get.
I see.
So do you remember when we first had the disaster in Japan, all of the iodine in the pharmacies and in the health food stores was sold out immediately?
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that? That's because one of the protective measures of the body is if you have natural iodine, the body won't absorb as much of the radioactive iodine.
Okay.
It's the same principle. I want to kind of divert from this, but I kind of want to cover this because I think this is really important. Because some of your listeners, I'm sure, live in communities where they have gas and oil production going on. When you've got gas and oil production going on, you've got a lot of synthetic estrogens in the air. So your skin, your body, through breathing and through your skin will absorb these synthetic estrogens, which will then throw off your hormonal cycle. And yes, men have estrogens too. It will throw off your body's hormonal cycles and your body's endocrine system. But if you eat more foods, raw foods, like, you know, vegetables and your leafy greens, more salad-type foods, if you eat a high raw food diet, your body will have natural estrogens, and so it won't absorb very much of the synthetic estrogens from the air. So the same principle applies to radioactive iodine and iodine. Now, since the disaster, one of the things that I do is I take the Thorvin kelp, and I started out with an eighth of a cup. And I take an eighth of a cup, and I throw that into a hot bathtub full of water. And I get in there, and I soak until 20 minutes past when that water has turned cool. Now, I can tell you it's going to make your house smell a little bit fishy, and it's going to make you smell a little bit fishy, but it's going to be very beneficial to you, and the smell will dissipate in just a few hours.
Okay.
But your skin will absorb the amount of minerals that is in the kelp, and kelp has more than just iodine in it, but it's one of the richest sources of iodine that there is. And Thorvin uses two different types. They use a deep water, and they use a shallow water Icelandic kelp. They use a particular type of kelp that's a very beneficial product that is actually in one of the products that we stock that is all of the cofactors actually around selenium. And iodine is one of the cofactors around selenium. If you don't have enough selenium in your body, what happens is your body will become immunodeficient. You won't have any immune system left. So like when a doctor gives you a barium test, one of the important things to do is chemically what happens is barium will strip the body of selenium. So you need to reimplant that selenium. Well, every vitamin, every mineral, every amino acid has these other components that we call cofactors that make them work better. So let's say that you're a person and you need to lift a 100-pound weight, but you only weigh 120 pounds. You could probably push and shove that 100-pound weight or get a dolly and move it. But if you get another human to come help you, and if you lift together, you're each only lifting half of that weight. Or if you get three more people to come help you, there's four of you lifting that weight, and it's very easy to lift and move as long as you coordinate your movement. The same thing works with cofactors with vitamins and minerals and amino acids in the body. You can take just selenium, but just selenium the body won't absorb very well. But if you blend that selenium with an amino acid, methionine, the body will take it in real easily.
Okay.
If you take and you add the cofactors that go along with selenium, and the cofactors are things like one of the cofactors is I'm drawing a blank here. Hang on, bear with me just a second. I'll give you a cofactor. One of the cofactors on selenium is vitamin C. Another cofactor is vitamin D3. Another one is the potassium iodide, and that's the iodide that you get from kelp. And then also another cofactor is magnesium, and another one is boron. So now if you want to further fine-tune that nutritional product, boron is another one of the radioactive ingredients that's in the air that we need to have concern about. So how do you offset and make sure you get in healthy boron? Well, you want to take in a good boron supplement, such as this one that's from calcium borogluconate, but you also want the cofactors around that. And the cofactors to boron are your yttrium-based bacteriums, and there are only two yttrium-based bacteriums in the world, and those are Bifidobacterium longus and Bifidobacterium bifidus. And those are in the probiotic blend that we actually carry. It's listed in the physician's desk reference. So people could actually, it doesn't require a prescription, but they could get their doctor to write a prescription for it. Nobody who sells the supplement is going to take the prescription as payment. They're going to have you private pay. But with that prescription and your receipt for having purchased Multiflora Plus, you can then send that to your health insurance company for consideration for reimbursement if you have a reimbursement program for your vitamins. But the product is listed in the physician's desk reference. It has quite a few published medical studies. And it's a very unique strain of Acidophilus. It's actually a patented strain of Acidophilus that was gathered back in the mid-1960s from a healthy male. Now, why is that important? The reason that's important is we didn't have GMO foods back then. And a lot of scientists are finding out in their studies that they think that what's happening is the genetic modification of foods is actually causing a change in the gut bacteria of the humans.
I've seen many studies on that, yes.
So the Multiflora Plus, it not only has this patented strain of pre-GMO Acidophilus in it, it also has Bifidobacterium bifidus and Bifidobacterium longus. It also has Bifidobacterium lactis and FOS in it too. But the Bifidobacterium bifidus and the Bifidobacterium longus, those are the only two yttrium-based bacterium in the world. So from the standpoint of yttrium-based bacterium, we need yttrium to live. It's actually an ingredient that we have to have in very minute amounts, but we need that in order for our body to use boron. So what happens is if you get in aluminum, so think of how many people who cook with aluminum paint. Think of how many foods that actually have aluminum silicate added to it in order to make things not stick. So what happens is we take in aluminum, and what happens is our body stops being able to utilize yttrium. And the only two sources of yttrium are this Bifidobacterium longus and Bifidobacterium bifidus. But what have we been doing since the 50s here in the United States? I don't know about your region. I was in Kentucky in the 50s, and we used to have a milkman that came, and he brought us yogurt, and he brought us milk every day. Every day he brought, you know, something to our house, and he delivered it. And it wasn't too long after I turned 5 that I started getting sick from having the milk products. Well, it was the same milkman, it was the same cow, it was the same dairy, but they had started pasteurizing everything. And when they pasteurize things, it removes certain enzymes, and it heats up certain bacterium and kills them. So our rich sources for these yttrium-based bacteriums are actually fermented foods. Fermented foods. And actually, I have a friend. I would love to do a joint interview with her on Freedomizer Radio with you. I've already talked to her about it. Her name is Nancy Lee Bentley, and she's the author of a book called Truly Culture, Cultured, which is how to ferment your own food.
Oh, excellent.
It's a fabulous book. It's actually about how to build community around foods. And this is a way that people can cost effectively. I mean, if you go out, you're in California, correct?
Yes.
I don't know. I know your listeners are from all over the world. But here in the United States, it's my understanding there are only two states where it is legal to purchase unpasteurized milk products. And those, that is Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Now, you can still purchase it in other areas, but you've got to jump through hoops. So let me kind of give you the idea of a hoop that I have to jump through in order to buy range-fed beef, and in order to buy unpasteurized goat's milk, and in order to buy unpasteurized cow products and goat products. What I have to do, I live in the city. I can't. It's against the law for me to have a cow in my backyard or a goat in my backyard. So I have to partner with a farmer. So, and this is one of the things that Nancy will talk about in her talks about in her book. She talks about how to build community around your food. And by building community around your food, around healthy foods, you build a healthier community. So you, community-supported agriculture is where you basically commit to buy whatever that farmer produces, and you get a box, you know, every week of whatever has, you know, blossomed and bloomed and promoted fruit, you know, or has the vegetable. Right. In our area, we only have just a few certified organic farmers, so it's very hard to even find certified organic farmers in some areas, but you can find them. The best thing to do is to plant your own seed. You know, we use only heirloom seeds in our garden. Heirloom seeds are seeds that have been saved, oh golly, some of them have been saved since the 1700s. So The seed has adapted to the soil conditions where it has been grown. Once I buy that heirloom seed from the company, then I save my seeds from the best, healthiest, juiciest, most flavorful fruit or vegetable. I save those seeds to plant the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this makes people who manufacture genetically modified seeds nuts. They think they own all the seeds in the world. They don't. They own their seeds. But I don't want the residue of their seeds contaminating my soil.
That's a big problem in the
industry. It's a huge problem in the organic industry. It's an absolutely huge problem. Because what happens is a grain truck goes by and drives by your farmland, and a gust of wind comes off and blows a few seeds out into your field, and all of a sudden that farmer has got this GMO glyphosate-resistant, really, it's a noxious plant growing in their organic field that contaminates their field. It shouldn't be the seed company who has the noxious seed suing the farmer. It should be the farmer suing that seed company for contaminating their organic field.
Well, it's even the grain trucks, That's only one way. The biggest concern is just cross pollination, and there's nothing we can do about that. There's no we have no environmental control over what bees pollinate.
Well, I'm going to propose a very politically incorrect environmental control that could be immediately done, and that needs to be immediately done. And if you talk to agricultural doctorates, such as Colonel Don Huber out of Purdue University. If you talk to them, we're at the point of collapse in America of our soil and of our entire soy and corn industry because of the genetic modification. This is his claim, because of the genetic modification of those seeds. Last year, 82% of the corn and 94% of the soy were genetically modified. The we have, and it's not just the genetic modification, it's also the herbicides that we have put on the soil. Glyphosate, billions of pounds of this herbicide glyphosate have been put on our soil. What's happened? Some of that has washed off into our waterways, so we are actually, as a population, bathing in this stuff. So why is that important? What does glyphosate do? Well, glyphosate is one of the things, just one of the many things, that they're using to genetically modify food. Glyphosate, according to Dr. Huber, disables a particular enzyme. It particularly disables the enzyme, the way that it kills, as it works as an herbicide, it kills the aromatic amino acids, the enzyme that you need to use the aromatic amino acids. The aromatic amino acids are phenylalanine, tyrosine, and tryptophan. Phenylalanine and tryptophan are essential amino acids. Now, what's the term, when you see that term, essential amino acid, when you see that listed on a product, what that means is if you don't periodically get this from your food supply, you will get sick, you will die. And so literally, the herbicide that we have put billions of pounds of this on our soils in America, and this same substance that we're using to genetically modify a very large portion of our food supply, disables a particular enzyme. If you disable one enzyme, just one enzyme in the body, you disable approximately 13,000 functions in the body. So let's just kind of back up and look at the phenylalanine and tryptophan. If you don't have sufficient phenylalanine in your body can't make enkephalins and endorphins. Enkephalins and endorphins are literally what helps you modulate pain. That's where we get our joy. That's how we literally activate that theta brainwave state. And that theta brainwave state is where we creatively problem solve. We co-creatively problem solve. We are writing music. We are writing poetry. We are painting. We are figuring out, we're lucid dreaming. We're figuring out the solution to whatever problem confronts us. A problem is just a solution waiting to be discovered. So why would anybody want to disable something that if you eat it makes it to where your body can't get phenylalanine? Well, let's look at this from a capitalistic standpoint. If you have insufficient phenylalanine in your body can't make enough enkephalins and endorphins. And so you're going to crave things like heroin and alcohol and marijuana and sweets and starches and chocolate and tobacco. And the symptoms you're going to have is you actually will have reward deficiency syndrome. So reward deficiency syndrome is where people become very sensitive to physical or emotional pain. People go out and what do? Oh, the stores love it. They buy and buy and buy. But they're never satisfied, so they keep buying. So it drives capitalism. But the people who suffer from reward deficiency syndrome, they crave comfort. They crave pleasure. They desire certain foods and they desire certain drugs. They can't get started in the morning without their coffee. You know, but it can't be just a coffee. It's got to be a mocha that's got high fructose corn syrup in it and that has this pasteurized milk product on top of it that has more high fructose corn syrup in it that shocks their liver and gives them a jolt of energy where they wouldn't need that jolt of energy at all if they had natural phenylalanine in their food supply. We actually have created through our food a nation of starving people, and we can take this back by literally learning to grow our own heirloom food, heirloom seed-based food, by literally composting our organic matter, creating our own soil, creating our own organic soil. Even if all you have is one window, you can put pots on that window and can grow lettuce and can grow a lot of things in your window that are heirloom seed foods. start with one thing, change one thing. When you change one, change another. If you take and say, okay, out of this calendar year, I'm going to make one change a week. I'm going to make one healthful dietary food change a week. So let's say that you are a soda pop drinker. Well, that's the first thing you want to get rid of, because most soda pop has high fructose corn syrup in it, if it's unless it's a diet one. If it has high fructose corn syrup in it, I would love for you to go online and put in the name Dr. Robert Lustig, L-U-S-T-I-G. Dr. Lustig is an endocrinologist who actually did quite a few studies on the negative impact of high fructose corn syrup on the liver and on the endocrine system. He and his colleagues became so alarmed at what they discovered that they petitioned FDA to label high fructose corn syrup as a neurotoxin, which is what it is. And FDA informed him, we have been told from higher up, hands off corn. So put in Dr. Robert Lustig, L-U-S-T-I-G, into your Google search. This is an 89-minute video. And the title of the video is Sugar, the Bitter Truth. I guarantee you, if you are a soda pop drinker, or if you consume products with high fructose corn syrup in it, it may take you watching that video three times, because he uses a lot of medical terms and he tries to, you know, bring it down to the level of college level students, but it's really, it's very, very chemically oriented, but he has excellent slides, and by the time anyone has watched it three times, they will at least understand how powerfully horrible to the body high fructose corn syrup is. And high fructose corn syrup, which they are now labeling, what happened was his video put so much pressure on the high fructose corn syrup industry that they then petitioned, the high fructose corn syrup industry then petitioned FDA to be able to also label high fructose corn syrup as corn sugar.
Yep.
If you see that ingredient on anything, put the item back on the shelf. Another thing that our food manufacturers are doing to us that's really important to understand is they put something sweet and something salty in the same recipe. They're even adding sodium to drinking water. So what happens when you've got that going on? Well, 20 or 30 minutes later, you're going to be thirsty again. Or you're going to want to drink another soda pop, because your body's normal satiation response mechanism literally gets switched off by the addition of the sweet and the salt in the same recipe, which will cause you to overconsume. So how can we learn to recognize what is our body's normal satiation response mechanism?
Okay.
I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this with you. I want you to eat a meal with someone else.
Okay.
And as you eat the meal with someone else, I want you to watch that person as much as you possibly can. I want you to keep an eye on them. At some point during that meal, you're going to see that the person will have a deep sigh, where they take a big breath in and a big breath out. Not the normal pattern of their breathing throughout the meal. If you eat an organic meal, this sigh is going to occur sooner than if you're eating a plate full of GMO foods. But when you see that sigh, if you can take and actually push that plate away, which goes against everything most of us were raised, you know, we were raised to clean our plate.
Right.
But if you push that plate away, you know, have a half a glass of water or have a, you know, have a cup of tea, you will find 15 minutes later you are so full that you really would have just overeaten had you not paid attention to your body's normal satiation response mechanism. The same thing happens with information. When you're talking to someone and they hit that deep sigh, guess what? That's all they can absorb. You're really not going to be able to reach them because you've reached their brain satiation response mechanism. They can't take in anymore. They can hear you, but they can't really assimilate it. So we aren't taught how to figure out what are our body's signals. I was in a store. Sorry?
I'm sorry. We're kind of at the bottom of the hour, and we need to take a commercial break. So is that all right if we just pick up in a few minutes after we come back?
That'll be great.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening to Freedomizer Radio, freedomizerradio.com, and you're welcome to call in with any comments or questions, 347-324-3704. And we'll be back after this short message.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hi, folks. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host, JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators, Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior, on Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit hole.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Okay, well, we're back with Judy Lynn Cole, who's going to join us on Wednesdays and provide us with some interesting perspectives on health and empowerment. So, Judy, where would you like to take it for the next half hour?
Well, what I want to be sure and mention is there's going to be a fabulous conference that's going to be July 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's a very affordable conference. This one, if you come as a couple, The fee is $100. If you come as an individual, it's $60. This is a camping conference, but if you're not into camping, you can stay at nearby hotels. But this is on the property of Dean and Mary Hardy. And Mary Hardy is probably one of the top Young Living distributors in the world. So she's very into healing with natural essential oils. Her husband is probably one of the best pyramid experts in the world. And he is such a pyramid expert that he and his sons and Mary built not one but two pyramids in their backyard. Their property fronts on a lake in Allegan, Michigan, and it's just a wonderful conference. Sometimes we have 150 people there, and sometimes we have 600 people there. It just depends on the weather and what else is going on. If, say, your partner isn't into all the woo-woo stuff, as my partner calls it, but say they're into antiques, there's always a wonderful antique show in Allegan that same weekend. But the lectures, there are four different lectures that you can choose throughout a two-day period of time, so you have your choice of which one to go to. But this is probably one of the better, in fact, in my opinion, it's one of the best conferences, probably worldwide, but because I haven't been to that many worldwide, but I've been to a lot in the United States, this is probably one of the best to teach you how to be a grid worker. And a grid worker is someone who not only works to benefit and empower themselves, but to also benefit and empower Mother Earth, to take and bring their communities, their loved ones, their families, their friends into balance with nature.
Okay.
So the discussions, I always talk about how the power of sound and nutrition can be utilized in grid work, because that's what we do, is we utilize nutrition and sound for doing our grid work. That's our outreach. But there are many people there who we have quite a few fabulous astrologers that attend every year. We have people who always discuss, of course, iridology. We have people who discuss essential oils. We have people who talk about Egyptology and the pyramids and pyramid power. We have a wonderful play shop for kids of all ages. By the way, children get in free as long as they're accompanied by an adult. This is a very strict conference. There is no alcohol or no drugs that are tolerated. You will be removed if there's any kind of impropriety like that that's going on. The group has each person has different things that they talk on. The subjects, I'm looking at the calendar for this year. The Saturday conference, there's a play shop for kids of all ages. There's personal and planetary healing with the image keys. They're going to talk about cholesterol, whether that's friend or foe, and they're going to talk about DNA, theta expression of the divine. That's just 1 hour, and you could choose one of those four conferences. Then the next hour, there's going to be a discussion on unified field theory. There's going to be a discussion on Egyptology. There's going to be a discussion on equatorian oils and neuro-auricular emotional release. And I'm going to be talking about the sonic frequencies, the sword and the cup, and I will be joined in my presentation. We have a surprise visitor, Ashira Hart, with whom I have collaborated many, many, many years on many international projects. She's the international coordinator for the Ringing of the Rivers Project. Ashira Hart is a fascinating woman. She's in the process of moving from England to Australia, but she's going to be opening a sonic birthing center. But she and I have been doing grid work using very specific frequencies that address what happens to the voice print when you take in GMO foods or things that have been glyphosate laden. So you see there's actually an interconnection. So then the next hour, actually they're hour and 15-minute lectures. The next hour is there's a lecture on forgiveness where you can go hear about pyramids and tools for protection, liberation, and transfiguration. There's a lecture on meditation on healing the body, and there's a lecture on instruments of healing, which are very interesting electromedicine devices. that use a lot of ELF and magnetic waves and just some fabulous, fun equipment. I've actually been in the that particular researcher's workshop. I just am amazed by the equipment. Then the last series of lectures that day, they have one lecture will be channeling Mary. Another lecture will be talking about spiritual anatomy. Another lecture will be talking about quantum entanglement. And the fourth one will be harmonics of ascension and dimensional tools. Now, that's just one day at the conference. It's extra for the classes that are offered on Monday. This is in Allegan, Michigan. If someone is flying in, the closest airports are probably Grand Rapids Airport, Grand Rapids, Michigan Airport, and Battle Creek, Michigan Airport are the closest two airports. If you don't mind driving about 2 hours, you could fly into Chicago O'Hare, maybe 3 hours depending on the traffic. But it's just a fabulous conference. This is an annual conference. I think we're at year 35. I'm not sure. But we normally have a firewalk, but because of the drought, we may not have the firewalk this year. If not, then we will have music. But normally we have a fire walk, but I can tell you that Dr. Mary Hardy is a fabulous grid worker, and she has been having two of her other grid workers have been working with her the last 2 weeks and as to actually bring down the rains so that hopefully we'll be able to have our annual fire walk, which that also has an extra, I think, $30 fee for that. It's pretty amazing. People bring their drums. A lot of people drum but don't firewalk. My partner always drums. He doesn't firewalk. But literally, they started working on bringing in the rains, and 2 days later, and ever since then, it has rained every day here in Fort Wayne. So they may lift the burning ban where we will actually be able to have the firewalk this year simply because of their grid work that they've been doing. Basically, Mary teaches us how to be geomancers, and then she brings in other people like Ashir Hard and myself. We teach people thaumaturgy, and thaumaturgy is just one more level of geomancy. So geomancy is basically where you use natural harmonics to align your body, the heavens, and the earth. Thaumaturgy is where you use a mathematical art form that works on the fourth dimension. In our case, we apply this with sound. So what we do is in our acts of geomancy, we add the component of sound. So they're big words that have a lot of meaning, but they cover literally the intention behind what you're doing when working with these very powerful energies. We're all so much more powerful than what we are aware. I mean, we are truly, truly powerful people, and we don't recognize this. And we don't recognize this for one reason, is we actually get dumbed down by eating poor nutrition. If you eat GMO food, if you just take in just herbicides, glufosinate and glyphosate, you will disable 6 neurotransmitters in the body. Now, if you disable 6 neurotransmitters, I call it the lights on, nobody's home. People can't think. They can parrot information back to you, but they don't have the energy to apply it to make the change. And if there's one thing that I can impress upon our listeners out there, empowerment means giving you the power, giving you the information for you to act. It's not just getting the information. It's actually going out and creating the change that you want to see. It's taking that step forward.
Yeah, we have to start with ourselves.
But sometimes it's harder to start with yourself. Sometimes if you can actually get outside of yourself and start around you, that comes back and impacts you and gives you enough to move you off center. The Ringing of the Rivers project that I talked about last Thursday on Freedomizer Radio,
mm-hmm.
that particular ceremony, it's based upon Native American guidelines, but that particular ceremony, you participate in it. You experience the sound in it. You experience the movement of energy through that sound. But then each participant takes 28 stones that have been charged with scent, sound, sacred geometry, and intention. They keep one stone as a commemorative, and they go to three bodies of water somewhere in the world, and they put those charged stones in that body of water. They do an outreach to that body of water, and they put that intention, those intentionally charged and sound-charged stones, go into that body of water. That body of water impacts all the people in that community. So it's not, yes, it's a metaphor, but it's also a physical act that gets people to literally realize the interconnectedness and how we can very gently create change. We don't have to create change by blowing something up, although sometimes that might be, you know, something that if it's a hazardous situation, that might be the kind of force that's called for. But what's more important is power. You know, do you want to use force or do you want to use power? You want to use power. When you use power, power has the knowledge behind the change that needs to be made. Whereas force is, doesn't care what the change is that needs to be made. It's just going to make the change. It's going to demand the change. It's going to push the change. But the change, because of the way that the change comes about, is force, will be rejected, will be hated, will be abhorred. But if you take and put the education in and have the change be something that the people want, that's where you have power. And it's the same thing with empowering people. Get the knowledge. Make the change. And yes, if you can, like you say, if you can make the change within yourself, that's really where you've got to start. But sometimes people can't start with themselves. Sometimes people are so beat down that they don't feel worthy to receive the change.
Yes, I've seen that.
You know, so if they don't feel worthy, how can you get them to feel worthy? Well, there's a lot of things that go along with actually feeding neurotransmitters to make you feel worthy. There's homeopathics out there. Right now we have one state where it's actually illegal to get homeopathy. We haven't had that situation since, I think, the early 1900s. Well, it's now happening again. And homeopathy is nothing more than really plant-based medicine that is basically like allergy injections, only without the injections, although they do have injectable homeopathy. Homeopathy is a plant-based remedy that is so diluted that unless it's lower than 6X, there's no physical property in it. It's electromagnetic energy. But sometimes where you can start with people who literally are so, they feel so disempowered, they've been so beat down, they just don't know where to turn. Sometimes you can do something as simple as give them a 1M pulsatilla to put under their tongue and take when they go to bed. One little tiny sugar pill with the implant of one particular drop of a plant, a very minute drop of one plant that has been diluted many, many, many times. And that literally is a way to remove shame. When people are, let's say that they're children of, they're the adult children of parents who are alcoholics, quite often those people need a 1M pulsatilla. And they may need it once a year for a couple of years because there may be some anniversary triggering thing that brings back bad memories. But as they begin to educate themselves about alcoholism, or as they begin to educate themselves about how their parents' actions are not their own, they can begin to heal. The thing is when you take and you disable those six neurotransmitters by disabling the functioning of those amino acids in the body, what happens is you create addictive behaviors. Well, one person might crave sweets, another might crave starches, another might crave nicotine, another person might crave caffeine, but the next person might crave heroin, or the next person might crave alcohol. These are all addictive behaviors. And to address the problem, the European model is very different from the United States model. The United States model for dealing with drug addiction is just basically abstinence, whereas the European model is to go in and address the underlying nutritional starvation that is the cause of the addictive behavior. Addictive behaviors where the body is not getting that chemical balance that it needs, and so it's trying to take another chemical and fix it. You can have addictive behaviors even in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Gambling is an addictive behavior, can be an addictive behavior. I mean, I go gamble about once every 30 years, you know, and when I've spent $100, oh, my goodness, I'm done. You know, I do go out and I buy a lottery ticket about once or twice a year. But I buy that lottery ticket because of a sermon that I heard when I was about 35. And the sermon was how a man sat down and he prayed to God and he said, "Lord, I have been a good and faithful servant for the last 15 years. I have never ask you for anything. But this one time, I'm going to ask you for something. I want you to let me win the lottery." 6 months went by. The man did not win the lottery. He sat down, he prayed. He says, "Lord, my faith has been shook all the way to my toes. I'm about to lose my faith. I've only ever asked you for one thing, and I ask for you to please let me win the lottery." And God answered, my son, you have been a good and faithful servant. But sometimes in life, you have to meet me halfway. First, you have to buy a lottery ticket." So what I'm saying to our listeners out there is getting the knowledge is important. But taking that knowledge one step forward at a time is the only way that you're going to win the lottery. And what you have to win here is your most important asset is your health. When you have your health, you can think and you can figure out other solutions. Money is not your most important asset. Property is not your most important asset. Your most important asset is your health. When you are in so much pain that it hurts you to breathe and it hurts you to move, you don't have any energy to figure out how to help your neighbor with their problem. You don't have any energy how to help your child with their homework. Because it is all you can do to breathe to get through the day with the pain that you're dealing with. But if you can take nutrition in that naturally stimulates enkephalin and endorphin production because it gives you bioavailable phenylalanine, guess what? Your pain level will drop. And that's the things we're going to be talking about on this particular radio show, as long as Cheryl will allow me to share with you and to bring in other people to share with you the information that they've learned, is how to literally take and empower yourself through what you surround yourself with and what you ingest. And what you surround yourself with is not just the air, it's also your relationships. It's also the items that are in your house. If you've got a carpet that's outgassing a toxic substance, rip the carpet up and throw the pad out. Be on a concrete floor, but have your health. You know, these are things that most people would never even consider. They would never even consider. But in reality, it's the only logical choice. Now,
well,
if you're gainfully, if you're gainfully employed, you can go to the bank and usually borrow money and put in, you know, tile or ceramic tile, or put in something that's a healthier flooring material. But some people are on fixed incomes. They don't have the option of being able to go into more debt. I can tell you, if the carpet's making you sick, just take it out. Just take it out. Our ancestors lived on subfloors for most of their lives.
dirt floors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. In my son's house, they have concrete floors and tile floors. His wife is allergic to a lot of different things, and those types of flooring situations don't collect the dust the same way that carpets do, and pet dander and all those kinds of things. So it's about healthy choices, people. We're down to the last few minutes. Is there anything that you want to say to wrap things up for us, Judy?
Well, if you're, I know you've got people in California. There's going to be a fabulous concert that's going to use some of the frequency patternings that Ashira and I both have been studying for years. Actually, one of our collaborators, Randy Masters, is one of the performers at this conference. It's called the Sound of Love Concert, and it's going to be August 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Grace Cathedral. And they have, the doors will be open at 6 p.m. to walk the labyrinth. And I'm going to be talking about labyrinths on this show, about how we utilize labyrinths to create bilateral movement therapy.
Okay.
To actually center and balance the brain. But this is being hosted by Globe Sound and Consciousness Institute, which is where Tom Casella and I both teach, and Randy Masters also teaches there. But they are doing this, the Sound of Love concert. It's at Grace Cathedral. If you wanted to find out information about it, you could go to www.soundhealingcenter.com, or you could go to info@soundhealingcenter.com, or you could call David Gibson at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. And this is the Sound of Love concert. It's going to be Friday, August the 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. The doors will be open an hour early for you to be able to walk the lovely labyrinth that they're going to have in there. And then the conference at Allegan, Michigan, that's July 28th, 29th, 30th, and 30th. It's the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. Excuse me. It's this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. And basically the topic of that conference is healing through love to allow the earth to prosper into a higher frequency. But it's a fabulous conference for people to come to learn how to work the grid, to join other people in working with the grid, and to get just tons of information. You normally would pay for each one of these lectures. You would typically pay $150 for each lecture, and the entire conference is $100 for a couple.
Okay, well, I hate to cut you short here. Join us every Wednesday with Judy Lynn Cole. You have interesting guests to bring to the program and interesting information to share with you on health and empowerment. So join us every Wednesday here with Judy Lynn Cole. Thank you very much, and we're out.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome. Okay, bye, everyone, and we'll see you here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 in the morning, and join us here on Wednesdays with Judy. So thank you, and have a blessed day.
Welcome to the Conscious Resistance with Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros, and I'm live from Houston, Texas at the Freethinker House. Today is Wednesday, the 25th of July, 2012. Thank you guys who are listening. Thank you if you tuned in on Monday. You heard Peggy Sue Skipper, and we talked a lot about what she's doing with the Consciously Curious movement out here in Houston and spreading it statewide and nationwide, as well as her work with Intuitive Hand Analysis and the Art of Conscious Evolution. I hope you guys enjoyed that show. Be sure to check out her website, PeggySueSkipper.com. Also, today we'll be having hip-hop artist Jay Soli, who is originally from Dallas, Texas, now out in Los Angeles. He currently is home for a few days. He'll be doing a show in Austin, Texas tomorrow at Brave New Books with our friends out there, and he will be here Friday in Houston, Texas, doing a show at the Eastside Social Center with Niku, Josiah Gabriel, and some other local artists, so be sure to check that out. We're going to have him on in about 12 minutes. I'll be back in just a few moments. We're going to talk about a couple things, get into the news with Jay Soli, and hear some new songs from his latest album, So Ill. Y'all stay tuned. This is the Conscious Resistance, freedomizerradio.com. Thank you.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, boss!
What is it, you buffoon?
It appears there's a new show on Freedomizer Radio.
What? This can't be. Does Lord Rothschild know about it?
Nope. I wasn't gonna die.
Well, inform him immediately.
But, boss, there's something you should know.
What is it, you simpleton?
Well, boss, it's about the host.
Spit it out, man!
Well, boss, the host is none other than Max Casey from the Black Market Liberty Show.
This can't be. How did this happen?
Attention, all New World Order and UN troops. Spread the word. No one is to listen to the show. Do not tune in. We must stop Max Casey and keep people from listening to the Black Market Liberty Show at all costs. The New World Order is counting on it.
The Black Market Liberty Show with Max Casey, Fridays at 6:30 Central and Saturdays at 8 Central on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Welcome back to the Conscious Resistance. This is Derek Rose. Thank you for tuning in today. As I said, we'll be having Jay Soli on the show. We're going to talk about how he got into hip-hop, his own awakening, his new album, So Ill, play a couple of songs. We're also going to talk about the Federal Reserve, Colorado, see what else we can get into with him. I wanted to talk a little bit to you for a moment, if you don't mind. It's a quote from somebody who highly influenced me in my activism, and also which things that led me to voluntarism and to looking into civil disobedience and things of this nature. His name is Henry David Thoreau, who quite a bit of you may be familiar with. He wrote Walden. He also wrote a bit about civil disobedience and slavery at the time. And many of the things that he was writing about and talking about are still relevant today. And they affect us, and it's important to, I guess, to look back and to see the people who knew what was going on. And Thoreau talked a lot about, for one, he talked about invading armies. We were at the time, America was invading Mexico, attacking a sovereign nation, taking over. I believe it was Texas where he was speaking about. And when he speaks about this and the invading army and these things, it's pretty similar to the situations we have with America and Iraq right now, so it's interesting to see. I'm trying to pull up my Henry David Thoreau quote right now. This has to do specifically with being a cog in the machine, and using your weight collectively, all of us together, to slow the machine, to do whatever you can to keep it from operating. I used this quote in a couple of things I wrote. Back in the summer of 2011, there was a call for a global strike, and I wrote an article that quoted heavily from Thoreau and his ideas on civil disobedience, war tax resistance, and things of this nature. He was arrested for resisting taxes and things like this, and I think that more and more what we're seeing with the way the system is going, for one, obviously we want to empower each other. We want to empower ourselves and our communities, and the government and the corporations and, the negativity has become more and more invasive in your life. It's almost hard to avoid it. Everything you do is feeding some kind of negative, negative entity somewhere, it seems, no matter what you do. And you can lessen these effects by, for one, taking your life into your own hands. And you do, you know, there's a number of ways to do this. Mainly by resisting every front you have. Taking yourself out of their system as often as possible. Hold on just a second. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up. But yeah, so reading Thoreau and reading his writings on civil disobedience, when I started to make the connection between what he was saying in the late 1800s, you know, in the 1850s, is relevant today. It's not, you know, more than it was then, because he saw what was coming then. He saw armies invading other countries, sovereign nations being taken over. And we see the result of that, of nobody listening. And he talks a lot about how, you know, you could get your neighbors and the people in your community to support you. They may even support you financially, make donations to your cause. But when it comes to them actually doing something, often they're not there for you. And this quote that I'm about to read here, it makes the point that if we all were to band together and to work together, we could affect change. And so the things that we're doing in our world, whether we're doing it through music like Jay Soli, or we're doing it through activism or radio, whatever you have, we have to do whatever we can to put these ideas out, the ideas of freedom, the ideas of self-empowerment, and working together without the dependence of the government or any kind of dogma. I think it's time for the people to wake up to our own power, to see what we are capable of within ourselves. And, of course, it's going to involve an internal shift, as we talked about on Monday. You can't sit here and expect the external world to do what you want it without changing anything internally. So work to better the world around you, but start within yourself. This is from Henry David Thoreau. If 1,000 men were not to pay their tax bills this year, that would not be a violent and bloody measure, as it would be to pay them and to enable the state to commit violence and shed innocent blood. This, in fact, is the definition of a peaceful revolution, if any such is possible. We have to come together. All the people, it's time for all the people to come together. And I'm going to spend another show. I'm going to put a video out once I get the website launched addressing the topic, is voting an act of violence? Is voting a violent act? Henry David Thoreau has a lot to say on voting. There's one of his famous quotes. Says to cast your whole ballot. I want to read that to you as well. And basically, to me, we can go deeper with it, but what he's saying here, when he's saying to cast your whole ballot, he's like saying to use your whole influence, to put your whole self into everything you do, and to believe in the things that you're doing. Trust and know what you're doing. So here, this is that quote. And of course, it relates directly to voting itself, but you can also take this and go deeper with it. And I think that more of us need this. We need to cast our whole ballot, put our whole selves into the things we're doing. Cast your whole vote, not a strip of paper merely, but your whole influence. A minority is powerless while it conforms to the majority. It is not even a minority then, but is irresistible when it clogs by its whole weight. If the alternative is to keep all just men in prison or give up war and slavery, the state will not hesitate which to choose. So we know what the state's about, what they represent, and what they're there for. It's time for us to be about the people. It's time for all the people to come together. I've come here to speak to you. I'm on my journey. I hope you're having fun on your journey. We're here to communicate together. If you got something to say today, if you want to talk to me or Jay Soli, call in today at 347-324-3704. This is an old song by Jay Soli, one of his earlier ones. We're going to get him on the line here in just a minute. This is Tower 7. From Jay Soli. As I said, he'll be here Friday night in Houston. He'll be Thursday in Austin. If you're not really into hip-hop, it's not your music, I invite you to stay tuned and still to enjoy the show and to hear what he has to say. He's a very educated person on the things he talks about, and his lyrics are full of insightful things about the world around you. So stay tuned. This is The Conscious Resistance on FreedomizerRadio.com. We'll be right back with Jay Soli.
If you happen to follow and want a song talking about popping the bottle, watchers and models, I'm not gonna bother. God is a problem, can't stop it tomorrow. Put your hands up if you happen to follow.
Grenade in the booth. See me delete these beats out. I'm a white rapper like a TV teleprompter like I'm Ron Burgundy.
Put your hands up if you happen to follow.
That's what I call fear-mongering.
Pessimism, repetition.
Communism, terrorism.
Pessimism, repetition. Communism, terrorism.
Pessimism, repetition.
Communism, terrorism.
Pessimism, repetition.
Communism, terrorism.
Pessimism, repetition.
Communism, terrorism.
Historical reminiscence, because this is repetitious. It's the new world order in the 60th edition. The mission isn't different if it's Hitler to the Clintons or the politicians sitting in trilateral commissions. The president's position has never been our decision. It's been given with permission in a one-party system. You think there's competition in between the opposition, but from Bush to Obama, there really isn't a difference. They wish to kill victims of the police state system, so I spit out bars to free us from the prison. I can sound pop, debate you in, then spit real talk like a bait and switch. Take those kids who never gave two shits and make them give one just based on this. Listen, new Rockefeller, old ambitions. They're all terrorists by their own definitions. Give a little kid a missile in the Middle East. Tell them it's a competition to see who can live the least. They own television, that's why they don't mention the fact that Tower 7 was controlled demolition. Those in suspicion must be code for magicians, cause those sons of bitches were at home in their kitchens. Funding the mission of the opposition, giving them guns and getting shot by our own ammunition. Turn off your television, because they won't mention the fact that Tower 7 was controlled demolition. You can call me crazy, but go look it up. On 9/11, Tower 7 fell without getting touched.
Hey folks, Valerie Sergeant Martin here, rebel agitator, Republican renegade, and host of the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. Twice weekly, I bring you guests who represent the best and brightest of the liberty movement, including best-selling authors, candidates, and legislators, and everyday activists, all patriots actively involved in taking back control of our government, putting power in the hands of the people where it belongs. We also talk economics, finance, international markets, and monetary policy. Anything and everything to do with free markets and capitalism. So friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join me Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. And remember, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Welcome back to the Conscious Resistance. This is Derek Brose, and I'm live with Jay Soley. How's it going, man?
Yo, what's up, Derek, man? I appreciate you having me on, bro.
For sure, brother. It's good to talk to you. I've had you on the show before. It's been a little while, man. You've got new things going on. When we catch up, I've got probably new listeners. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you got into music.
Yeah, man. My first love was rock, actually. When I was growing up, I was really into, you know, classic shit and played guitar and stuff like that. And then my best friend, when I was about 17, I would beatbox and he would freestyle and he was sick with it. And one day he was just like, yeah, it was around when I was 16 or 17. He was like, yo, freestyle, man. And I didn't even really know what I was doing, just kind of was having fun with it. And that's how it kind of started, just really having fun at parties and stuff like that. And started writing some stuff and started getting, you know, better and better. And eventually it was kind of time to just put some stuff out there. And it's got a pretty good response and things just kind of moved on from there, man.
Awesome, man. So when did you start putting out YouTube videos and things like that?
Let's see, there was, it was 2009, about almost like 3 years ago. It was just straight freestyles off the top of the head that went on, got on YouTube and, you know, got a little buzz going around my area. and actually a little outside that too. And I started doing shows that summer, was in a battle on K104 in Dallas that summer, and that kind of helped perpetuate things a little bit. And so, yeah, it was about 3 years ago that I started taking it seriously. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that I really started getting into writing songs with a, you know, I wrote my first political song, like conscious hip-hop song, 2 years ago. So it's still relatively early in the development process. I'm still growing every day, I feel like. So it's been a great journey, though, man. It's awesome.
That's great to hear, man. So we just heard Tower 7. When did you record that song?
That was just about a year and a half to 2 years ago, probably, around that time frame.
Nice, nice. And so obviously talking about 9/11, and I've been talking on the show more and more about me. I'm preparing to go personally back to New York for the 11th anniversary of 9/11. I went for the 10th. I went to D.C. for the 9th. And just trying to keep, you know, the word alive that there's still questions that remain about 9/11.
Yeah, that's so important to keep that movement alive, definitely, because we can't, you know, you just cannot let something like that slide. You know, there's just way too many questions, and it's way too important of a topic because it was the starting point for so many points of deception. And, you know, if something broke on that issue right there, if someone came out and said, yo, like, it went down a little different than what we're told, or if someone, you know, anything leaked to the mass consciousness of people, I think it would start a huge, you know, avalanche of questioning everything from then on, because then you start saying, okay, so, whoa, we just went into the Middle East and killed a million Iraqis for no reason, you know, and then you start, I mean, that would just start a lot of, I think, resistance against the establishment. I think it would create a lot of anti-war rhetoric that's obviously going on, but I just think in the mainstream lane, it needs to be talked about a lot more. You know, that's the thing. It really, when you start talking about, like, to people who aren't really as informed or they're more asleep to the issues, if you say, hey, let's pull the troops out of the Middle East. We're in five countries now. It's getting out of hand. You know, people would say, well, you know, they always go back to 9/11. It's like, we need to have justification for 9/11. Even now, it's, you know, 11 years later, it's ridiculous. But, If they had some little just kind of thought that maybe the story of 9/11 that they've been told they were lied to, I think it would open up a lot of questions in the mainstream arena.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do here, man. We don't want the 9/11 truth movement to die down at all. There's tons of theories that go all over the place and lead in different directions, and there's a lot of opinions. Speculation. There's a lot of, even, you know, to be honest, infighting within the 9/11 truth movement. But really, more than ever, we're trying to push to just unite everybody to stick behind the fact that we have questions, and that, yes, there, you know, there's tons of evidence. If we could just get this, if we could, you know, I think we could get this 9/11 into any kind of court with a jury of sane people, automatically that it would come out that there are real legitimate questions. It's not a conspiracy theory, something, you know, crazy to question 9/11. It's more about trying to get to the truth. And the reason 9/11 still matters is because, you know, we've seen, like you said, what's happened, the wars. Now we've got drones in American skies, and the TSA going on bus stops, train stops, random checkpoints, and all this stuff. This fear is built up, you know, from 9/11, the 24/7 excuse for everything. And so we're still here trying to expose that. And I know that we've talked a little bit about you recording a video when you come down to Houston. And you guys should, you know, if you appreciate what Jay's doing, look out for that in the next coming weeks or so. We're going to basically pump out a couple of weeks of video leading up to 9/11 from activists, musicians, artists, celebrities, anybody we can reach who's willing to come speak out on 9/11, maybe who already has and who wants to again, put out a video encouraging people to get to New York or to do a local action. And we're going to make this one big. And maybe this will be the year that the mainstream can't block it out anymore, you know, that the citizen media really does take over, the same way we saw a lot of independent journalism around Bilderberg 2012.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's coming to a forefront. I think there's too many people. I've seen a lot of different people, and you know, like celebrities and stuff like that. They have been kind of a lot more vocal about it. I think it's a lot more of a mainstream topic now because, I mean, if you look into it, anyone with half a brain who looks into it for 15 minutes, you have to at least have questions about the official story. I mean, that is the very bare minimum. I like to kind of speak at the minimum level here. You have to have some questions about Tower 7. For, you know, that's why I called that song that, just so people would look into the video or anything about that. It's just ludicrous, just that one thing right there. And I could go on all day about all the other, you know, the questions and the, you know, inconsistencies in the official story. But, yeah, Tower 7 is the main one that I go to on that.
And Tower 7 continues to be a big point. You know, and it's one of the many points with 9/11. So those of you who haven't looked into 9/11, I'm sure most of the audience is aware of 9/11, but if you're new here, you're listening, I encourage you to check it out and look into the history of false flag events, things like that. I wanted to also talk about another issue, man, before we get into one of your new songs. The Federal Reserve, I know, you know, I've seen on your website and heard you talk about it, and right now, you know, here today, the audit the Fed bill introduced by Ron Paul back in 1983 has made it the furthest it's ever come, and will be voted on the House today, possibly leading to, you know, passing in the Senate. And who knows? I mean, a lot of people don't have faith in the political system anymore, and I don't necessarily either. And, you know, sometimes I have trouble wondering if all, what we're seeing, you know, all of a sudden now the support for the end of the Fed bill is real, or if it's just part of the puppet show. But either way, the ideas of freedom and liberty and of looking into the Federal Reserve just a few years ago, you know, you were still called crazy conspiracy theorists for this, and some people will still say that. But now these ideas are pretty mainstream, and it's insane to see.
Oh, no question, man. And it's the same concept as why Ron Paul would continue to run even when everyone is saying, you know, you have no chance of winning, all of that nonsense, you know. The reason why he kept running and, you know, keeps going is just because every day that he keeps campaigning is another person that wakes up to the fact that the Federal Reserve is a criminal private organization that's printing every dollar you have. And it's the same concept as, you know, this bill gets pretty far. And even if they, you know, shut it down, like, I'll pretty much believe it when I see it if they actually get that far to audit the Fed. But regardless, just that it's making news, just that people are talking about it, it makes more and more people say, oh, the Federal Reserve isn't a federal entity. It's a private bank that's controlling all of the money system, you know. And so just that alone, it's really a battle of awareness. You know, we need to just – the more people that are aware of it, we're winning the battle. Whether or not they shut it down or pass it today, it's still just bit by bit winning that conscious battle in people's minds. The more, I guarantee you, thousands of people today will look into the Federal Reserve a little bit more and understand the way that the system works a little bit more. And it just, that helps a lot. That's winning right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about getting these ideas out there and like you said, just keeping people conscious and aware of the world around them. We need to continue that. You know, that's the way we're going to do it. And, you know, we try to do it through radio shows, through music, of course. And you've got a new album that's about to drop here pretty soon. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, it dropped this week. You can get it on iTunes or Spotify. So Ill. Yeah.
Awesome. So you just released it?
Yeah, it was yesterday, the day before, I think. So, yeah, it's available now. It's actually getting a pretty good response. Some tracks are, you know, you've heard The Menu with D1333, Infinite Mind, two great conscious rappers who are all about spreading awareness, all about the resistance movement. That track is raw. It's underground hip-hop in its finest form. You know, I've got I Love America, kind of goes deeper into my thought process of, it's called Fallacy, but the hook says I Love America. And, you know, I get into a little bit of the fact that, you know, I am America myself, so I have to look at, you know, if I want the system to change, I have to look at myself because I am America. When I say, you know, when I fill up the tank with gasoline, I'm actually funding half of these catastrophes overseas that are rapidly contributing to tragedies and casualties. So I am that person who is causing that when I buy, you know, Shell and Mobil and all that stuff. So really the change, yeah, it does have to come from each one of us and look at us and as overused as the phrase is, you know, be the change. It really is important.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And I was talking about Henry David Thoreau in the beginning of the show and his writing on civil disobedience. And like you're saying, there's no matter, you know, what you're doing, if you're in some way we're contributing to what's happening, and these corporations, they will continue to do what they do because they know that the people are going to still use the system. And, you know, we got to find ways to resist the machine any way we can. I've got that song right here, actually. We're going to play that. Got what you said, it's actually called Fallacy?
Fallacy, yes.
All right, this is Fallacy off Jay Soli's new album, So Ill. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Thank you. because I really did, though, seriously. The artist name is Jay Solly from jsolly.com. That's J, the letter, S-O-L-L-I.com.
So ill and shit.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Welcome back to Conscious Resistance. This is Derek Bros, and we are live with Jay Solly. You just heard Fallacy from his new album, So Ill, which just came out. You can catch it on iTunes and Spotify. What's going on, Jay?
Yo, man.
So let's continue this conversation, man. We've got some people with listening to you and checking out what's going on in the chat room here on Freedomizer. Jay Solly's insane. They're digging it, man, so... You guys got any questions for Jay, give a call in here, 347-324-3704. Got him for another 10 or 15 minutes, so call in with your questions and thoughts on the songs. We're going to be playing a couple more tracks off this as well, so stay tuned. You know, we mentioned 9/11, we talked about the Fed, and obviously 9/11 goes into the idea of false flag events and, you know, the left-right paradigm, the Hegelian dialectic, you know, problem-reaction-solution. And we see the way governments and those who are behind them, they use panic situations to push the world into a more positive, or not to more positive, but into the direction they want to, which most usually is not a positive direction. It's about control. Sure. It's about war. And some people are speculating that what just happened in Colorado and Aurora, the shooting at the Batman screening, maybe some type of false flag event. I don't know how much you've been able to look into that, but what are your thoughts on that situation and false flags in general?
Yeah, there's no question that false flags are an intricate part of the establishment's way of getting what they want done, because they can't just come out and say, hey, we want to take away all your guns because we want to oppress you and easily take you over. They can't come out like that, so they have to go through, you know, different steps to basically make us fearful and come to them for the solution, like you said, problem reaction solution. You know, I'm usually nowadays a little bit slower to jump on the inside job like bandwagons quickly, but you know, I have looked into this a little bit, and just off the bat, it really there's already some questions, you know. Right off the bat, you know, like you just look at the guy and he has an MK Ultra kind of look in his eyes, you know, the same kind of weird grimace and crazy empty look in his eyes kind of deal. But and then the motive is, we've seen this coming for a while, about them, you know, they want to disarm us, take away the Second Amendment, and what better way than to come into a somewhere that we all feel safe, and that everyone goes to the movies, everyone feels safe there, and they kind of want to take away that last sense of safety and comfort, and make us again fearful so that they can carry out their agenda. And what I, you know, beyond the bigger issue here, you know, is the Second Amendment, you know, because you have a bunch of people now saying, see, this is it, take away the guns, this is it right here, you know, and you have both sides kind of infighting. And so I would like to focus on that aspect of it more than whether or not it was carried out by them or not. I would like to just focus on don't take away the Second Amendment, you know. And you know, Adolf Hitler said, to conquer a nation, first disarm its citizens. So right there, you just have to, you know, just take a step back and think for a second. Beyond fear, beyond emotional politics, just use rationality and use, you know, be free yourself. And, you know, yeah, he's a seemingly level-headed, smart dude. Why would he want to, you know, all of a sudden do this 180 and pull off this kind of seemingly pointless act? Is kind of confusing. But, you know, making guns illegal, it's not going to stop a criminal. It's not like they're going to say, well, You know, I'm not going to go into a movie theater and kill 12 people because I don't want to break two laws. You know, like, it's just kind of absurd to say that banning guns is going to get rid of guns. I mean, there's so many guns in America. You're not going to get rid of them. A criminal who wants to pull off this kind of act is going to get his hands on a gun. It's not that a law like that is not going to stop them from carrying out that kind of thing if they really want to get it done. The only thing that, if you made guns illegal, the only thing that it would do is it would make the person who illegally obtained the gun, it would make them more powerful against the unarmed public. And not to mention, most importantly, the tyrannical government, we would be unarmed against them. That's the most important point here, is that the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, that's not a law in place so that we can go hunting or just like shoot cans or some shit. That is a law that is in place so that if our government becomes too tyrannical and wants to overstep their powers, the people, the nation of the people, by the people, for the people, can stand up themselves and protect themselves and freedom and protect all of those ideals that America stands for in the first place. That is what the Second Amendment is about. And you know, I love the Thomas Jefferson quote that says, the beauty of the Second Amendment is we won't need to use it until they try to take it away.
Nice, nice. And you've seen Ice-T come out just in the past couple of days saying the same thing, that the Second Amendment and gun rights are there. They're the last form of defense against a tyrannical government. So we see the importance of that, and it is important to make the connections. You know, I just want to mention a couple of things before we play another new song. As far as the Colorado shooting, just for those of you who are listening, just keep your mind open, because if you study false flag events, Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, and go look in Sirhan and the assassination of RFK, Robert Kennedy, you see a lot of the similarities as far as military exercises happening the same day as what happened. They were simulating a shooting in a theater at a school in Denver while, you know, this was going on. This is just like a 9/11 exercise in OKC. And also now reports of other gunmen, and like you mentioned, him looking dazed as if he was possibly drugged. And so just keep your mind open and be aware. You know, this is not about fear. This is about being aware for whatever's coming so that we can take our minds straight ahead from a balanced standpoint. I want to play – actually, before we play, I think we have a question. Let me check out who we got here. Hey, do you have a question for Jay Sully?
Yo, yeah. I was going to ask Jay Sully, you said something earlier about Ron Paul. I wanted to say, what do you really think of Ron Paul? I want to know your opinion on him.
I am – if he was running right now, I would be for him because he wants to – it seems like – I mean, he's been wanting to end the Fed for a long time. His policies haven't changed on that. And,
what do you think about him? I learned some things about him that was saying that he's really kind of radical about things. Like, he wants to take away all government. And what do you think about that in a way? What is your opinion about that?
Yeah. I mean, he is radical, and I think radical is the only way to go right now. I mean, I'm radical myself as far as, you know, compared to a mainstream point of view.
If we had no government, it would be – I feel still there would be chaos.
Well,
if there was no
let me take this one, Jay, if you don't mind real quick. I just want to say the idea that without government that you know there would be chaos is kind of a myth that we're all told, you know. And what was your name again, brother?
Thank you for
either way. Thank you for calling in, man. I just want to say that, you know, what we're trying to do, what I'm personally trying to do, and I think what Jay is trying to do with music is get people to recognize that we don't need the government or an authority to rule our lives. And they try to tell us that without them, that there would be chaos. It's the same thing as they say that the cops are here to protect you, that with or without the cops, you know, there would be violence all over the place. And it's just a myth that we're taught. In reality, our strength is in ourselves and our strength is in our community. With or without Ron Paul, you know, we need to push to empower ourselves, empower our communities more so that we can get out from under this police state that they are building. You know, that's my personal opinion. What do you got on it, Jay?
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's that same kind of, you know, you can't let fear steer you away from freedom. I mean, like, the fear, I think chaos is having too much government. Too much government is what would create the chaos in the first place. Like, in my opinion, you know, they carried out false flag attacks in the past, and they are killing people in the Middle East. And, what, you know, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think that more government actually creates chaos. I think less government creates freedom. And that's kind of what America was founded on. It said, you know, those who are governed best is, you know, governed least. So, I think that fear of without us, you're going to be in chaos. You're all going to go crazy without us. That's kind of the brainwashing mentality that I think they want to impress upon us through media and through the system that we all kind of were educated under.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that call. We're gonna move on real quick because I got a couple more things. I want you guys. We got a lot of comments happening in the chat room over you, Jay. Thanks to everybody who's listening. I want to get to a couple of the new songs so everybody can check those out. We're about to play The Menu. If you want to lead into that.
Yeah, definitely, man. Check out Beast 1333 if you have a chance. He's got a new album coming out December 21st, 2012, called Space Age Slaves. Great MC, Infinite Mind. Check him out as well. He's sick. This song, we just kind of wanted to just go in on this one and just make a raw track that just kind of expressed whatever we're feeling at the time. And I kind of just wanted to drop a few little hints of knowledge, like, you know, I said 9/11 was a setup, said Norma Mineta. So, you know, I wanted people to look up Norma Mineta, get his testimony on 9/11. That's pretty convincing. And, yeah, the rest of it just kind of speaks for itself.
Awesome. Well, here we go. This is The Menu off So Ill. We'll be back with Jay Soli talking about his awakening. Stay tuned.
When I'm finished here, the world will know my motherfucking name. The world will know my fucking name. A race of mutants, interbreeding, surface dwellers, shootings. No more massive transit people, the looting, telecommuting. Release, no refuting. Just wait a second, that's computer booting. No disputing, clock will stand saluting. Modern day disputing, world is crazy. Technological advances make them lazy. Sony send the author, planet vision. Rapping Mars, Scorsese, stay depicting. Your mind is weak, that's why you play the victim. Innocence are trampled in the crowd. The cops attacked and kicked the musty victim. Who gives it the right to tell us what to do? I am successful cause I'm bringing forth a sound that's new. So how about you? Tell me what's your contribution left behind? Will your family remember you in future times? Will your children have somebody to be proud about? A highly doubt will swim against the tide like I'm a rainbow trout, so don't freak out. Rhyming is a supernatural power. I will climb up bare for the top of the freedom tower. I'm out of charge an hour. The press of rock, Christina, talking hours. Behavior, influence, neutrino, solar, rift, the shower, balls like Yaba. When I'm rhyming, solid, throw the baba, blasted ball. I say goodbye to dollar, Merrill's hidden mara, felt the earth shake. New York City, man-made earthquake. Assessed with fucking, that's why humans have tremendous birth rates. What if it's a Thursday? You at their feet and at their mercy. I'm used to people slandering my name, that shit don't hurt me.
Hello, hi, listen to this shit.
Okay.
Solely in beast in infinite spitting. Resistance against criminalistic. Slick with dipshits. Kissinger's bitch tits. Drop like missiles in the Middle East. It'll be written in riddles and hieroglyphics. And these symbols got me mixing up scribbles with a little bit of rhythm. So turn it up a little. It is Jay on a sizzle on the track. Delicate, but that's fucking irrelevant to the betterment and the development of intelligence. I'ma tell it like it is. Till my skin is a skeleton. Till I'm spitting for the hell of it. And you have no relevant. Attention, attention. I'm spending this second in the second dimension. While I'm developing sentences with intelligent premises. I'm an incredible nemesis. Me and Beast are intellectuals like veteran chemists. Infinite is killing it. His shit is fucking venomous. The three of us are better than 70 pop veterans. My message is ahead of them. It don't need to be said again. But then again, I guess that repetition teaches better than anything.
Repeat.
So 9/11 was a setup. 9/11 was a setup. Said Norman Mineta. Better get a machete or better yet a Beretta. You better meddle the devil to settle beef or vendettas.
We begin to rise. Epitomize and synergize. The realest rhymes while killing gods and telling lies. Body begins to energize. Infinite mind, forming up an army that's resisting. We're enlisting in a revolution movement, coexisting with the whole rebel alliance. Heavy metals are appliance as we practice all the war after studying its science. Cause we're fast and defiant, it's the wrath of the science as we clash with the giants and we mash with the tyrants.
Listen to this shit. Solely in beats and infinite fits in resistance. Listen to this shit. Solely in beats and infinite fits in resistance. Resistance.
Resistance is right. Resistance. Welcome back to the Conscious Resistance with Derek Bros. I'm Derek Bros, and we're with Jay Soul. You just heard The Menu featuring Beast 1333. How's it going, man?
Yo, man, get.
Yeah, I'm glad to get these songs out there, and thank you to Anonymous 2805 in the chat room. They just posted Norman Mineta's testimony video in the chat room for people to check it out. Y'all look into that. And that's, I think, what I really enjoy the most. I enjoy music of all kinds, man, but I definitely enjoy music that puts out something real and gives you something to really, you know, chew on and to look into, no matter what type of music it is, whether it's heavy, it's hip-hop, it's electronic, whatever. You know, if they're talking about something real, then I can get with it. And as I've been mentioning, if you guys are in Texas and you're listening, if you're in Austin, Jay will be there tomorrow. You're going to be at Brave New Books, right?
That's right, man. Yeah, 7 o'clock, Brave New Books on Guadalupe. And Martin Luther King, yeah.
Dude, you're going to love that place if you haven't been, man. And there's real good people out there, so enjoy that. And then Friday we'll be scooping you up and bringing you out, showing you a little bit of Houston, showing you what we do, and end the night with the show and be some good stuff, man. So looking forward to that. I wanted to get into, for the last few minutes that we're here, bring it back home. We discussed a lot of issues, discussed all these things, and I like to stay focused on the solutions. And the solutions are we the people. The solutions I see are, and what we talked about on Monday's show, is making an internal shift. That, you know, we can point the finger all day outside of ourselves, but until we make that internal shift inside, you know, we're going to be fighting. And for the last couple of minutes here, before we end with the Age of Aquarius, I wanted you to just talk a little bit about what, you know, what you feel is happening in this world, in this universe, as part of what some people call the awakening.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'm feeling the awakening myself. I'm feeling a shift in my vibrations of my body as well as the earth. It is, you know, the Mayans said that, they didn't say on December 21st that the world would end. They actually said that it was the end of the age of Pisces and the beginning of the age of Aquarius. And there are actually a lot of ancient cultures who spoke about December 21st, 2012, that exact date. The Native Americans, Nostradamus, the I Ching in ancient Asian culture, and the Mayans, and I think other texts allude to it as well. But the main point is they studied astronomy, and they were much more connected to nature, and they understood the precession of the equinox, and that's our solar system is on a rotation, and it's relative to the center of the galaxy. And in the song, you know, I say the center of the galaxy is where most of the light is, but it's not just light. They said it's consciousness inside us. So when we start moving back toward the center of the galaxy and we get closer to that source of light, it's actually our consciousness getting higher within our collective human consciousness, which is where we're creating, I believe, this reality ourselves subjectively. And you know, it's like John Lennon said, violence begets more violence. It's just the law of the universe. And if we radiate the frequency of love, if you intentionally vibrate higher to a higher frequency, you will change the reality of everything that we have. And I think it's really important that people do that. So December 21st, 2012 marks the end of a 25,625-year cycle. And then we start moving back toward the center of the galaxy. I think it goes back to a really good Albert Einstein quote where he says, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. So,
yeah.
You know, it's I think beyond a lot of this, you know, violent revolution, I think it's more of a, it's going to be a revolution of consciousness. And we're going to have to, as a species, I think, evolve into a higher vibrational frequency, and it's going to be about love, man. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Definitely.
So,
I agree with you, man, and I'm glad to hear you making the shift as well, because I've been making it in my personal life. And we've got less than a minute here. We're going to play Age of Aquarius off Jay's new album, Soul Ill. Check him out. Look up Jay Soli. Find him on YouTube. I'll be back Monday, the Conscious Resistance, every Monday and Wednesday here on Freedomizer Radio. Last question, though. We got about 20 seconds. Will there be a Wolf the Dentist album?
It's possible. It would probably be more like a mixtape, more of like freestyle mixtapes. But, yeah, I think Wolf the Dentist will still be around, yes.
the show, brother. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you having come on the show. I'll see you Friday. Guys, as always, if you can hear this, you are the resistance. Enjoy this Age of Aquarius.
Yo, Dutch Pot on the beat from the UK.
Yeah.
The super producer. I was like, let's get a remix of that old school joint, Age of Aquarius. Because for those of you who don't know, we are entering the Age of Aquarius this year.
Preach.
So he got back at me with this. I was like, genius. Jay Soli, give me a word. Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is scary or hilarious with various positions on the subject. One, but the age of Aquarius is only scary if your soul, mind, and body's barely balling on a budget.
Yeah.
Barriers are vanishing, the planet is uniting.
Yeah.
People are rioting, free humanity is rising.
Woo.
Sanity is born and insanity is dying.
Yeah.
It's all good, damn it, I find this anarchy exciting.
We're all gonna die.
Listen to what the Mayans really said.
What?
They didn't say on December 21st the world would end.
Oh.
It's like the end of a sentence, a new one will begin. Again, with new dimensions we can comprehend.
Yeah.
It's the ending of the age of an arrogant heritage. The Mayans weren't the only ones to care about this period.
Whoa.
There was Merlin and the Bible and the Native Americans. Nostradamus and the I Ching talked about Aquarius. Civilizations were intelligent like the Mayans.
Yeah.
They learned more in astronomy than we did in modern science.
Yeah.
The center of the galaxy is where most of the light is.
Woo.
But it's not just light, they said it's consciousness inside us.
Yeah.
We're getting closer, so our consciousness is getting higher.
Yeah.
I hope we see the light before we set the earth on fire.
Yeah.
The end of the age of the evil fucking tyrant.
Woo.
And the end of the cries of the people getting silent.
Yeah.
The end of the lies and the police state sirens.
Yeah.
The procession of the equinoxes led us all to violence.
Woo.
The earth is getting darker, but it's also getting lighter.
Yeah.
Those who are enlightened with two eyes can decipher that we're disharmonic with ourselves and our current state.
Yeah.
But our knowledge is expanding at an exponential rate. And second by second, we're getting more and more awake. It's darkest right before the dawn, and it's getting late.